This morning, what I'd like to do before I dismiss all of you is play the video from that Hannah Reeves and Cherish Shuka put together from the Build banquet, from the banquet on Friday night. I think it's just the banquet, right, Hannah? I think it's just the banquet on. And I was, when we were driving on the way up here, I wanted to do a really creative thing like Sam does, like thank you. But I don't have a lot of creativity, so I don't know what we're going to do other than to say it was a really good conference. And when you look at all the, I've looked at this video like a dozen times now. When you see all the faces, and there's just all the faces, all the people working together, all the different people from our global partners from around the world. You see all the smiles, you see all the working together. It's a really good example of how everyone's gifts are needed. Everyone's gifts in the body of Christ are needed, and this video does a good depiction of that. So, as this is a way of saying thank you. So enjoy the little video here this morning. We'll watch this, and then I'll pray for us and dismiss us.
Thank you.
So thanks to Hannah and Cherish for putting that together, and for all of us being a family and showing those global partners what a family, what a real family looks like. So many good moments in that video, isn't there? Just so many special moments. Let's pray and I'll send you out. Lord, we wanted to pause and just, you can hear everything we say, but as we think about ending 2019, we are just thankful for the work that you've set before us and that each of us can play our role based on the gift set that we have. So as we finish up this year, we ask that you would root us deeper and deeper into your word and into your teachings, and that we would continue to love each other and work together more and more each and every day. So in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be dismissed. Jim. You've seen that video. I think we showed it once before, right? But for some reason, it wasn't showing the top third, so you didn't see anybody's faces. All right, this morning, what I'd like to do is to work. We're going to work on Psalms. So I've got a worksheet here, a handout, and then Jim's got another handout there. So I'm going to do maybe a 10-15 minute little intro here, a few housekeeping items, a few family related items, and then you're just going to work on your tables on the Psalms. So that's the plan for this morning. Now, it's a few things I want to do. I'm not going to have my iPad and I can't palm this computer, so I'm going to do this. My hands aren't quite that big, but I did this. I tend to like to share out of my week or out of my 2 weeks before I get into the teaching, just so you know where my head has been. And this is the picture of where my head has been in many different ways. But in particular, I'm showing you this little picture because of from the perspective of parenting, actually. Some of you elders are thinking the next step is something else. I'm not going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to talk about parenting. Now, I sat with, my wife and I sat with John Hala in parenting class. I think it was, I'm not sure how long ago it was, 8, 9, is it that long? Doesn't matter if it was a long time ago, it feels like. And I remember putting the plans together for our kids. We had 2 kids, I believe, at the time. We have 3 now. Elijah was this tall. And I just remember putting plans together what I remember distinctly is that John was talking about how that third stage, that 13 to 18, how it's a whole different ball game. No pun intended from what I'm about to show you. So what happened in the last 2 weeks in my life is my oldest started playing basketball, and I'm going to state the obvious here. As a parent, your children have gifts, and then they have roles that they play, and you want them to succeed. And I didn't realize how much your heart just, like, you, like, really want them to succeed, and yet you can't really do a thing about it. So let me show you something. This was a game on this Friday night, and I was so nervous. I've had so many things happen in my life, it feels like, in the last 2 months. I feel like a different person, but this, I was so anxious. I don't know if I've been this nervous in my life, just a few nights ago. So let me give you a little context. Is Steve in the room? Steve's up there. Okay, Steve, the score is, all of you need to know this, but the score is 2 minutes left. We were actually down 13 points. And it's 48 to 47. The whole teaching this morning is just going to be about basketball, okay?
Where are you sitting?
Well, here's the thing about where I'm sitting. I wasn't going to tell you this, but now that you asked that question. This is the radio broadcast of the other team. And I hear myself in the background every now and again. That's not a foul. You need to get glasses, I have said at one point. I'm very proud of most things. Until you hear them, you hear yourself, then you're not quite as proud. But you just want your kid to succeed so badly, you say these things that are in your heart. It's terrible. We're down one. We're just coming back from being 13 down, and Elijah is number four here in yellow, and we're playing against. So I want to show you two little clips.
Team comes, brings it out, gets it to Meninga in the corner. Three on the way.
We're down one, remember.
Beverly cannot, though he did save the rebound. How was he not out of bounds? And the ball ends up with Henderson. Bulldogs cannot believe he wasn't out of bounds. And with under two to go, Hoover could take the lead. I don't believe they've led all night.
We haven't.
Henderson, left wing, Loveless. To the free throw line, Voss, jumper for the lead, got
boom,
it.
Boom, up by
and
one.
And Hoover leads 49-48.
Now we're up by one, okay? So let me pause you there. We're up by one now. We haven't led all game. I don't know what to do with myself. I honestly do not know what to do with myself. So let me fast forward to this. This is the other point where I actually, in my mind, I thought back to the parenting class, and I thought, this is what John was talking about, and I really thought John was just old and weird. But this is the moment where I actually think he might actually be right. Like, this is a whole different stage of being a parent. It's a whole different stage. It's a whole different ball game. Like, we can teach each other these things, but until you live them out, like, unless you don't have a foundation of these things, it's really tough to not yell at the referees. Let me go here. Okay, they want to sell us banking. That's great. Good. So let me, I didn't mean to take this much time, but okay, so we're up by one. Up by one, they make, okay, so they block it. I've watched the build video and these videos quite a bit this weekend. Okay, they want to orthodontize. Okay, I think. Where is it, Leah, do you remember?
Trey holding it back to Hammer into the lane.
Okay, we're up by three. Blocked.
Meninga, okay. The putback good. Timeout.
So now we're only up one.
Well, that clock. We'll get it.
I really want
50.
You to know how
you get
I felt.
Go Sports Network.
Iowa. Leagues are
okay,
serving.
They want us to go bowling. Make sure. Jeez, silly Atama. We don't want to go bowling. All right. This is the point I want to get. We're up by one. There's 6 seconds left.
Hoover inbounding, leading Atumwa 51-50 in the fourth quarter. Loveless
okay, so
inbounding.
I'm so nervous.
Pressing. Inbounds.
Gets the ball, gets fouled, goes to the free throw line. All right, this is what I want to show you. 5 seconds left.
Taylor Young will replace him. That makes sense. Young can hit a three-pointer.
And
if Voss makes both of these free throws,
I don't know what to do with myself at this moment.
Voss has 20 points, 16 of them in the second half. He's 1-for-1 from the line. 1-and-1 here makes the first. 52-50.
Jeez, he made it.
Hoover is not going to contest a rebound if he misses.
I was like, you better make him, buddy.
Fans trying to make noise. Free throw by the freshman, and he got them both. 53-50.
All right, that's the ball game. They came down, shot it, missed it. But I was... Yeah. Can you just... I don't know what to say other than everything I've said. So it's a new stage of parenting. It's a new stage of parenting. And I know already I need to check my gut and check myself before I go into these things, because you want your team and you want your... I'm beginning to see why people like sports now, I think. Yeah, I know. Weird, isn't it? So passionate about it. Okay. Finishing the year strong, planning our lives, giving. I'm going to talk just briefly about that, show you our budget numbers right now. Tomorrow night we have an all-leaders meeting at 7 until 9. 7 o'clock it begins. And then I wanted to show the Build conference video. I already showed that in the beginning as some housekeeping items. Wanted to show this slide again because we've been talking a lot about thinking about our work as a family in a 100-year time span, and that there's a stewardship that God has given us, and you could summarize that stewardship as the way of Christ and his apostles. And when you look at two different sets of 40, 50 years in the front end and then another years in the back end, you have to recover those ideas from the New Testament, create tools. They're there, but create tools for people, and then you really need to spend decades of rooting those ideas, being established in those ideas. So I just want to continually put that in your mind. We're going to dive into this as the new year unfolds in January more, but recovering and rooting, very, very two key ideas. Our budget, our family finances, we're currently at, should be at 447, we're at 403. By the end of the year, we need 71 by end of year, so that's the next 3 weeks. And for some of you, you may look at that and say, oh, that's actually not too bad. That's actually ahead of schedule where we have been in other years. So that's the good news. The bad news is it's still a pretty big number to get by the end of this year. So what I would encourage you to shepherd in your churches is to finish the year strong. This is us. We get to participate in what God's doing. And so I would just encourage you to shepherd your people patiently and help them understand that this is where we are. This is typically about where we are all the time, each year, and we end pretty strong. Most years, I think. Last year, I think we were 20 some short, 30 short. So, you need to be talking about these things. You need to be shepherding these things in your churches. Okay. Patiently shepherd, urge your churches to fully participate. I feel like we should talk about that more, but should take questions. But I think I haven't shown these numbers for some time. So we did really good at the Build conference of our commitments in March, and we also had commitments to the budget that we had in March. So if we stick with our commitments that all of us made in March, we should hit this number. We should hit this number. But again, it's not about the number as much as it's about participating in a heart condition. It's about your heart condition. So that's what we need to shepherd. Okay, What I'd like to do is, why don't we hand out, Jim, you got those sheets? Let's hand out some. You can, those give one to everybody. These just give three or four to every table. I can help. Yeah, three of those. And those give three or four to per table as well. Three or four of those. I don't have enough of all those for every table. Yep. 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 Give me a. I'll orientate you when we're done handing sheets out. Everyone should get one of these, and it says, I can show it on my computer. You should get one of this sheet that's up on the screen. So this is our main sheet that I'd like each of you to begin to fill out, and then you have reference documents that you're receiving as well. Extras? Yes. Yeah. You need more? More of these? Need a couple more of these? Okay. Would someone go make copies of these? We need a few more of these. Someone be willing to, Mike? Thanks, Mike. How many people need this sheet that's up on the screen? Make 10 copies, Mike. All right, so look with me. Let's begin with the end in mind, the expectation for this morning. This sheet right here, I'm expecting you to work on it individually and as a group, both. But I'd like you to walk out of here this morning with at least a couple psalms written down that you want to use in your life, in your family's life, in your church's life. So That's the take home sheet. That's the take home objective. So the psalm would be on the left, and then your plan for using it on the right hand side there. There's some notes down at the bottom that show the memory. Let me do this. I gave you the other resource I gave you to try to put this together. This is based off Randy and Steve's teaching the last 2 weeks. Let me show it to you. So that's this handout here. I figured I didn't need to print one for all of you, but that's these documents right here show you the different types of psalms. So what's a psalm of orientation, of orientating our minds and keeping us aligned with God, God the Father and his plan. So that's a psalm of orientation. The definition is right there. Captures the thing about God and his dealings that are constant, things that are settled, that are trustworthy, something we can bank our lives on. Then there's psalms of disorientation. If Elijah would have airballed all those free throws. That would have been us. We needed to go read a psalm of disorientation, perhaps. I think it's a little bit bigger than that. Which, by the way, now that I mention airball, the other thing as a parent that you're not quite ready for, John Hala, is that the opposing crowd yells really, really profane, bad things at your kid. And you're just not used to, as a dad, I'm just like, I'm going to beat that entire student section up. Like, I know my role as a leader, and I'm a good role model, but I'm, like, they're saying really, really bad things. I'm going to walk across the court and tell them that they need to come to teaching tomorrow morning. Because that is just ridiculous. And, yeah, how do you deal with that as a parent? I don't know. I don't know. Okay, what was I talking about? Disorientation. So disorientation takes you through a journey of processing brokenness, heartache, injustice, disequilibrium, shows how God's people navigate through disorientating circumstances in light of God's character and larger purposes. New orientation, when you're on the other side of things, helping you get a new orientation. Fresh experiences, expressions of thanks for God's intervention. Steve recommended that this is how we use some of the Psalms, that we pray way beyond ourselves. We pray the Psalm, we pray Scripture, pray galactically, we pray cosmically, we pray for things that we can't comprehend. The Ephesians 3 prayer, for example. We use written prayers, we pray in faith. Good uses of the Psalms are to memorize verses. You sing them, you can worship with them. A better use is to memorize entire Psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. So those are just Psalms that you want to have at the tip of your tongue. So you could so a use of them is to memorize them. A best use of Psalm, keep the author's style in mind, keep the book of Psalms in mind. Do you understand what I'm trying to do with you? I'm just trying to give you a review of the last 2 weeks, put them in front of you, and then you talk as a table about what Psalm you want to use. There's 150 of them. So this requires you to have some background in Psalms, which I hope there's enough here to give you some background, or there's someone at your table that can give you a context. Randy said, read several a day. Identify 10 to 20 that you want to be able to use, because these four bullet points, which are, it contains a worldview building blocks, which is orientation Psalms. It models how to reorientate yourself. It models confession of sin and restoration with the living God. That's Psalm 51 is that way. Psalm 88 is a good psalm for those. Psalm 51 is after David took Uriah's wife and then killed Uriah. And then Nathan, the prophet, addressed his sin. And David said, whoever took that rich man's, the poor man's sheep, even though he was rich, that man should be, the same should happen to him. And then Nathan said, you're that man. And then on the other side of that, he wrote Psalm 51. So it models, the fourth thing it models, thanks for God's faithfulness. And we need to be a thankful people. Make sure the 10 covers all the range of Psalms. There's some examples of Psalms that Randy had on his list. So if you do anything this morning, you can just copy Randy's list onto your own list. There's his Baker's Dozen. He said 10 to 20, Baker's Dozen there. Work on Psalm 1. Sing them, read them. Okay, so that's this sheet. One more sheet, and then I'm going to let you go to work. And that is, there should be a single sheet at your table. And it is a tool that Bill took us, Caleb and I and others, in February of 2011, we went through the writings course, and so I simply just went back to that work and pulled it back out. Isn't that fun, Caleb? It's kind of fun to see what you wrote in 2011. So this is, when I was listening to Randy and Steve teach, what I did on the other side of Sunday mornings, I went back to my work in the Psalms because they were encouraging us basically to do a list, which is what I'm giving you the opportunity to do this morning. And so I went back to this sheet to reorientate myself, because Steve said the best use is to keep the author's intent in mind and the adjacent Psalms in mind. So let me give the, I think this will be helpful to some of you, and for some of you, your mind doesn't work this way. Monique, this will be helpful to you. I know your mind works this way. Others of you, you're like, yeah, this is way too many words, not helpful. So you can tune me out. But for the rest of you that your mind works this way, the Psalms, the Psalter is divided into five books. Moses, and as the saying goes, Moses gave Israel the five books of the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those five books. And David gave Israel the five books of Psalms. And there's 150, and they're divided into five different books. Historically, the nonspecific nature of the Psalms is a function of their continued continued use in the worship of Israel. That consistency has been brought to the book at the ending or redactical level is evident in a number of ways. There's an introduction in Psalm 1 and 2. Basically, Psalm 1 and 2 say there's two different paths in this life. Kind of just how Proverbs begins. There's the faithful path and I can't remember the exact words of Psalm 1 now. The path of the wicked? No, that's Proverbs. What does it say? Wicked and righteous. Righteous, there you go. Thank you. And then there's a conclusion, which is the four psalms on the back end. So there's a sense of movement between the psalms, the division of the 150 of them into five separate books, and there's many sub-collections within the whole and within those individual books. So here's the author's intent of the, at least my stab at it in 2011. This is the author's intent for the entire book of Psalms, and then these are the intents for each of the five books themselves. So let me read them to you, and I'll let you go to work. But by collecting the Psalms into five books, showing and modeling a Davidic heart, which is why I keep talking, like this morning I kept talking about a heart. Out of the mouth, the heart speaks. By collecting the Psalms, five books, showing and modeling a Davidic heart, gathering the community, that's us, to adore God through genuine worship, showing that there are only two ways to live, and that embracing of God's law is a blessed man. We want to embrace God's law, his teachings, his commandments, his didache. So then the first psalm, book, which is 1 through 41, during the reign of David, by giving prayers and songs for many different situations, while times of distress are prevalent, they probably didn't have basketball games that were really stressful, but they were actually getting killed. They were trying to take over more and more of the land. By giving prayers and songs from many different situations, while times of distress are prevalent, providing hope in God who can save, especially Psalm 9 and Psalm 16, with reflections on worship with the proper heart orientation, that is, 1, 14, 15, 19, you can steal some of those ideas into your own there. These are mostly Davidic psalms, except for Psalm 10 and 33. Psalm 42 through 72, continuing the book of purpose of book 1, providing laments to help orientate our lives. The Korah collection is introduced in 42 to 49, with a single Asaph song, Psalm 50, the voice of the community is more distinctive in this book because 44, 67, 68 are more community-wide. And Solomon's psalm concludes this book, which is Psalm 72. The third book is Psalm 73 to 89. The tone of God's justice permeates this entire book. Psalm 88 marks the darkest psalm as the hope is all but gone. Hope is occasionally seen, 75, 85, 87, 89. But book two ends with the hope of royal aspirations, and in this book, these royal aspirations seem to be in jeopardy. So Psalm 2, the one 42 to 72, ends with the royal hope, but then in this book, this third book, as you read it as an entire, in its entirety, it feels like, wow, we're not going to make it, as it maybe turns out. But 89 actually begins. If you read these, 89 begins the is really hopeful or more hopeful. Let me keep going. So two more books, 90 to 106. This book seems to open with a response to the tone of book three, offering hope that even before the end of book three is what it should say, offering hope that even before David, God was providing for Moses and the people. Psalm 103 to 106 especially summarize the activities of God with Israel during the times of Moses. The doubts seen in book three are actually refuted within Psalm 93 to 100 as our God, our Lord, reigns. Very powerful if you read that third and fourth with those intentions in mind. Really, really powerful for reorientating our lives back to what's really important. And then finally, the final book. This book begins by answering the prayer of 106, verse 47, to save Israel so they can praise. The book ends with five psalms that center on hallelujah praise, 146 to 150. The psalms affirming God's promises to David, 8 to 109, 110, 132, 138 to 145, celebrate the law and celebrating the law, 119. In the Psalms, which I think 119 is, isn't that the longest psalm there is? Celebrating the law. Psalm 119, oh my goodness, trying to be short. 119 is a powerful psalm if you understand how it's written. It is really long, but you separate it up and you can see the whole elephant if you just look at the chunks of it. I'll leave it at that, but I have a whole other document on just Psalm 119. Really powerful. Psalm, celebrating the law, and the Psalms of going to Jerusalem, 120 to 135, which are the Psalms of ascent. And so 107 to 145, the period of restoration. Okay, a lot of words there, but I hope that's helpful to some of you. So go to work. I'd like for everyone to walk out of here with at least a couple psalms written down and how you're going to use them. That's the objective. And I would also like for some of you to share on the back side of this, show your example of what you're going to do. Okay? So I'll gather us back when it feels right, and I'll have a few of you share, and we'll go out. Let's share some of your work. You can just pass the mic around, or you can take a picture of it and text it to me, put it up on the screen. You can sing it to us. You can share one psalm idea that you had a breakthrough. You can share all 10. You can do whatever you want. Daniel.
I know one that I had was Psalm 73,
yeah.
And my reason for adding that one was because I have a couple friends that are kind of unbelievers and like trying to wrestle with how do I encourage them when they're desperate in life and don't really have any encouragement in life, and recognizing that like Psalm 73 is like you seeing them, it's lamenting about you seeing them enjoying life and doing these things, but ultimately you have this rest in God that they don't have, and like you have this confidence in Him, and so like recognizing that they don't have that. These friends don't have this rest in God and a bigger purpose in their life. And so trying to read through Psalms so that I can better relate with that and help them with.
Psalm 73, you said.
Yep.
Excellent. Good.
I have several psalms identified that I would like to memorize with my daughters the entire Psalms together and pray them together regularly, and if we can, sing them together. And that would be Psalm 19, Psalm 139, Psalm 113 and Psalm 117.
Four of them.
Yeah.
Why did you pick those, Anna?
I think that, well, most of them are not terribly long and huge chunks to bite off for my children to memorize, but they're all very orienting around praise and recognizing who God is, and then Psalm 139 has always been my favorite, and so I memorized it when I was about Nora's age. And
which is how old?
She's almost 11. So I think that my daughters and I can do that one together and talk about it a lot.
That's great. Thanks, Anna. Yeah, the power of memorizing them, especially go back to parenting, and giving that discipline to your young kids. Man, even as when we're in our middle ages, we'll call it, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. You know, that was from when I was Nora's age, probably. I don't know how old I was, but and every now and again, your brain just goes back to it. He is worthy to be praised. I will call upon the Lord. That's Psalm 18? We were trying to figure it out at our table. We couldn't come up with it. Psalm 18. Lynn?
I also had my children, we all together memorized Psalm 1 as a way of teaching them and that there are two ways or paths to choose, and that only following God's law would result in blessing. And so we memorized Psalm 1. When I look at Psalm 2, I think it provides an orientation of how to view the things that we see happening in the world and in our nation, and that the persecution of Christians is only going to get worse, but to keep in mind that God is in control and will ultimately be victorious, and so we don't need to lose hope or be discouraged by that.
Yeah. Excellent. Psalm 1 and 2, pretty, the introductory psalms to the whole 150 of them. Two paths.
In Psalm 3, I would use this if someone is discouraged and struggling and hurting. Would use that to, I mean, it basically instructs us to look to God to lift our heads and provide encouragement and peace so that we can sleep in the midst of distress. Yeah. And then I like Psalm 6 because there's humility. The author is expressing humility before God in the midst of deep pain and hurting, and yet then is pouring out their heart, an example of pouring out their heart to God, and then expressing a confidence in God to hear their prayers.
Uh-huh.
And then I like Psalm 7 because it's an example of, in the midst of distress and adversaries, there's self-examination going on. I mean, he's not proud. He's saying, have I done these things to other people? Have I? And I just think that's just a good example. I think sometimes, you know, when people are hurt or angry, they can be, oh, how could somebody do this to me, blah, 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 you know, when, you know, rather than seeing that they could have done that to someone. Yeah, and then I can't read my handwriting. Oh, Yeah, and then just a real humility when God answers or removes adversaries or vengeance from your life, that he is in awe and humble, because what is man that you would even care and answer this prayer?
You are mindful of him.
Right, and yet the conundrum of he regards us as a little bit lower than the angels. I mean, it's just really hard to grasp or fathom, but just the greatness of God, and that's a response in when God has removed the adversaries and the vengeance that this person was experiencing. I like Psalm 9 because it talks about how our enemies or the wicked are temporary, but that God's throne and his judgments are forever, and should be a stronghold for those who are oppressed. So it's a lot of looking to God in the midst of struggle and difficulty. And I like Psalm 10 because it talks about the slowness of God to enact judgment. And sometimes it can seem like, why do the wicked prosper? You know, and that it's still, this person then ends up calling out to God to act and to judge.
Is that, Daryl Infield, do you know, is that the psalm that says it rains on the righteous and the wicked the same? I think that's Psalm 10. As a kid, I hated that psalm because we would be praying for rain on the farm, and then anyway. I got a lot of problems in my life I need help with. Sports and raining, too much rain. Thank you, Lynn. That's very, you can tell that throughout your life, you've done a lot of work in the Psalms. So thanks for sharing that with us. Our heart, you know, you didn't say it, Lynn, but you can tell that I would summarize a piece of what you're saying is she's regularly trying to orientate her heart. Such a powerful. I wrote down Psalm 14, 15, 24, and 26 in one line. Yes, you can write as many psalms on one line as you want, but I want to work on those for the proper heart orientation, keeping the proper heart. Anybody else want to share your thoughts for all of our edification? Caleb, who was pointing?
I wrote Psalm 22 down.
Psalm 22.
It's the one that starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's definitely a disorientation psalm, but I've heard it. I don't know if it's 100% legit, but thinking about the fact that maybe Jesus was thinking about this when he was on the cross, and there's a turn in tone about halfway through, which has more of a reorientation, a color to it, and I think it's really powerful in general as a perspective to it.
So in the psalm, it goes from disorientation back to reorientation in the same... What, Psalm 22, you say?
Yeah.
How long is Psalm? How long was it?
31 verses.
And how much of that 31 is disorientation and reorientation?
Well...
Do you know?
Yeah, it's about... verse 22, it looks like, if I remember correctly. Because it... Yeah, the first half is just very much... you know, but I'm a worm and not a man. But then after 22, I will declare your name to my brothers, and it ends, posterity will serve him, future generations will be told about the Lord, they'll proclaim his righteousness to people yet unborn. So I think overall it's a very good perspective to have on.
That's good. That's a great idea. That's kind of a new, we never said any of that, but if you have one psalm that has both in it, that's really powerful. You can read Psalm 88 and Psalm 89 and get some of the same, but even in the same psalm, that you get both. Good, thanks for sharing. Anybody else? Lynn, come back to you. You love the psalms, Lynn. Why aren't you up here teaching?
I think it's Psalm 139 that I taught a section of it to my kids, and we memorized it, just that they're fearfully and wonderfully made, and that God knew their form even while they were in the mother's womb. And I think that's important for all kids. Kids can struggle with self-esteem, and especially if you have kids who are born with disabilities.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good perspective
to have.
Psalm
139.
I think so.
How does it start, did you say?
Well, it doesn't start. It's just in the midst of the psalm. It's like that the psalmist is saying that he is fearfully and wonderfully made, and that even while he was in the mother's womb, God formed.
Yeah.
You know.
Good. Anyone else? Okay, Caleb, you had, and Sean, you have something to share? This is impromptu. I had no,